Hembro.
So my sister-in-law listened to our episode where Sarah mentioned a couple of weeks ago about Tammy Hembro having a vaginal birth after two C-sections, and you know, she was really proud of herself, and as she should be, because
she did amazing.
She did such a wonderful job. But she just shared her birth video on YouTube, and then you know, mentioned it on Instagram. So we've all watched it.
I literally was avoiding it up until like an hour before this.
Like, so I've heard women's stories who are 10 times worse. Yeah. I've seen birth videos on, you know, like that stupid
birth tube
and one born every minute.
Oh, whatever, yeah.
That are like fucking so much more traumatic and horrific.
Yeah.
But I just think hers was such a,
like, she was ripped off.
It was, that would be coined as a really good birth.
Yeah.
She, and I'm sure she feels, well, maybe, I don't know, you know, in a few months' time, maybe she will start picking it apart. But for now, obviously, she feels like everything went really well.
Yeah.
But as someone who knows how normal physiological birth can go, I watched that and I was just so sad for her, and I was so angry for her.
Same.
Everything was going really well at home. She's laboring in the shower and things must have started getting intense, so she decided to go to the hospital.
You know what? I was just like, wow. Like, you know when they said the first intervention is leaving the home?
Yeah.
I was like, man, you would have had this. You would have
20 minutes. What do you reckon? 20 minutes, half an hour.
She took so long just to walk into the hospital. And I'm just thinking about, like, this poor girl's walking.
Yeah.
There's bright lights.
Yeah.
People are around her, and I'm like,
pressing elevator buttons.
No wonder this shit takes longer when you go to the hospital. Yeah.
I reckon if she'd stayed home half an hour max, that baby would have been out.
It was coming. It's her third baby too, like.
So she gets to the hospital. You don't really know what happens, like, on her admission, because they don't film that. But then, so it sort of cuts to her on her knees at the end of the bed.
In a beautiful position.
In a wonderful mother-led position.
Yeah.
She's doing really well. She's handling the waves really well.
The noises she's making is excellent. Yeah. Like, amazing.
She's doing so good. And then she says, then she verbalizes that she's starting to feel pushy.
Yeah.
And then straight away, I don't know if it was a midwife or an obstetrician. Yeah. I'm assuming an obstetrician because it's a VBAC.
Yeah. Oh, true. And that's the thing, but the way she, that's what I was thinking to her at the end. I'm like, I wonder if that's an obstetrician, because she was up in her grill after the baby was born as well.
And this is where it all,
and also no warmth.
No,
that was that you could see on camera. Anyway. No, I don't know the situation. I wasn't there, but this woman was very cold and like very super professional. And I was like, ew.
I went back and watched it again, and with the volume louder, so I could try and hear exactly what they were saying. And
I wrote some fucking things that bitch said.
So Tammy was, poor thing. So she starts verbalizing to her support people. Oh, I feel pushy. I feel pushy.
And then that woman says, "Does it feel like the baby's coming?" Like, why do people talk like to laboring women like they're retards? Like, she's just like, "Oh, I feel like this baby coming," or whatever she said. And she's like, "So does it feel like the baby's coming?"
And do you feel like you've witnessed enough births now, either in person or on screen, to know, to be able to tell the difference in the woman's sounds?
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember when I got over to my friend who free birthed.
Yeah.
As soon as I sat down, I was like, this baby's so fucking close. Because you could just tell by the noises she was making.
Yeah.
So, like, surely I guess an obstetrician probably hasn't had enough experience with normal birth.
Yeah.
To be able to tell the difference in the sound. And also, if she's pushy, but she's not quite ready, nothing's going to fucking happen.
I know.
She's going to push, nothing's going to happen, well, she's going to keep labouring.
That bullshit story about the cervix, we should check your cervix. Like, that's all crap now. That's not even based on anything. You don't need to check the fucking cervix.
No, and if the mother's listening to her body and she pushes and it doesn't feel right, she's not going to keep pushing if she's encouraged to listen to her body.
So when Tammy said, like, I feel like baby's coming, that woman went down and fiddled around with her vagina. Tammy's got CTG on, right, which is listening to the heart rate.
Mm.
But this woman looks at her vagina, fucks around down there, and then she says, might have to change position again because of the baby. And then she says, like a minute later in the video, get on the bed because I need to check you again because I need to know what to prepare for. It's just bub. Bub's making all the choices for us. And I thought, why did you go down there? The CTG's fine. So just leave well alone. Why did you need to check her?
Yeah, what are you checking for?
Babies come out in all types of weird fucking and wonderful ways. Yeah. And Temmie was in that position for a fucking reason because it felt good for her. Like, I'm sure she wasn't having the best time. Like, she's about to have a baby.
Yeah.
But she was in that position because that was what she was tolerating. That's what felt good.
That's what her she instinct. Found. Her instinct. Yeah.
Let's hop on the bed because I've seen... What have you seen, you stupid bitch?
And as soon as she said, let's hop on the bed, I was like, she's fucked.
And so immediately, Temmie's on her back mm-hmm. and they've got her legs right back.
And then baby's heart rate starts being silly, you know?
Yeah, like funny starts, that because the baby didn't want her on the fucking back.
And perhaps baby wasn't ready for mummy to start pushing yet.
Exactly.
You know, which they would have discovered.
Because then they had to check her again, obviously. And oh, you're 10 centimetres. You're only 4 centimetres before. It's like, how many times have you gone into this woman's fucking vagina at this point?
Yeah.
Fuck me. And then it's like pretty much like start pushing. And yeah. I was like, is that her naturally pushing or are they just telling her because she's fully dilated?
Exactly.
She might have been pushy for the next 2 hours and not been pushing yet.
And then it's no wonder Bubba's heart rate crashes because you've moved mum from an optimal position. Baby mm-hmm. now is probably getting her head jammed in, or his head or whatever, jammed into mummy's pelvis because she's no longer in an optimal position.
Yeah.
And then she's pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Then did they cut her first and then call dystocia?
So at 1:40, they said, you're fully dilated, and she was on her back, legs up. And then pretty much immediately, they were telling her to push. So they were doing coached pushing, which isn't, like, what are you doing? This woman has no epidural. She's got no pain relief on board. Mm-hmm. It should be mother-led pushing. There's mm-hmm. shit written everywhere about this. There's studies. You shouldn't be coaching a woman naturally laboring.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 1:42, that's when the pushing started, 2 minutes after that. And they did tell her that the woman literally tells Temmie while she's pushing, the baby's heart rate's abnormal. And so what I noticed after this is her tone changed, like the way she was laboring. It sounded like she was scared and screaming.
Well, she would be.
Yeah, it wasn't like before that.
And because imagine how much fear they felt.
Oh my god!
For her to even get to the point of having a vaginal birth in a hospital after two sections, fucking hero.
Yeah,
she obviously stood her ground very firmly. But that doesn't stop the fear that they're fucking spewing all over her every appointment. Your uterus could rupture. Your baby could die. This, like, you know. So as soon as the vibe in that room changed, mm-hmm. which it did, as soon as that obstetrician said that your baby's heart rate has changed or is abnormal or whatever.
Yeah.
Of course Temmie felt scared.
Exactly. And then not to mention you've changed her position. She's on her back. She's completely vulnerable.
Now she's uncomfortable.
Her legs are right in agony. Up. And then just the screaming, I was just like, this doesn't even sound like a productive push or whatever.
Yeah.
I just felt like, you poor thing, you sound like you're screaming out of complete fear, like scared. And I just thought, this is so fucked up to have a baby. And then the story they told her, so then they said, like, it was, like she wrote on the screen that it was shoulder dystocia, the baby's shoulder was stuck in the pelvis. A, this could have been, if that's true, and not just a bullshit lie that they've told her, like, get your fucking notes. Notes aren't going to say anything because they're just going to write whatever to cover themselves anyways. Maybe that's why you shouldn't have moved her.
Yeah.
The baby's trying to maneuver the way out of the vagina.
Yeah.
Temmie could have been getting up naturally, moving, lifting one leg
moving
up.
Moving one leg, yeah.
To get that baby out naturally, like normal, not naturally, but you know, like just normally.
Just listening to her body.
Yeah, but you put her on her back.
Yeah.
You know what else is funny? How fucking spread her legs were. Yeah, have you seen that thing with like... women, like, so when I had the first 2 kids in hospital, I always was upright with my legs, my knees practically touching.
Yeah, so it's knees together, legs apart, opens the pelvis.
Yeah, so your knees go together.
And if you watch most women who birth in that position, because mm-hmm. I've watched my video with Dusty and that's exactly the position I was in, that's the position we naturally find.
You don't open your legs up to have the baby.
No.
Because when you open your legs up, your pelvis closes.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at her poor legs are just like right apart, right back.
Mm.
And I thought, well, you're making her pelvis in like smaller. A, if it was actually fucking true shoulder dystocia, why didn't you try McRoberts position? Because that means like her, which A, I wouldn't do that first, but like Ina May Gask, like the Gaskin maneuver.
Yeah.
So you get her on all fours, basically.
The running leg, isn't it?
That's another one too. Yeah. The Gaskin maneuver is normally like woman up on all fours, which guess what? She was practically in that position before this fucking joke show started.
And She was in that position, basically.
Yeah. But they didn't try that. They didn't do McRoberts.
No,
they
just
did an episiotomy.
They just cut her perineum instead.
And I'm just like, and so when this happens, so at 1:40, they say you're fully dilated. 1:42, they start telling her to push. At 1:55, the baby's fucking born. That's 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see the baby's turtling or whatever the fuck you reckon, that's oh, this shoulder dystocia, that's very quickly born.
Mm.
Why didn't you give her, like, shoulder dystocia babies, I'm going to die immediately. Like, I'm talking,
and they,
like...
And they even say that you, even if they're turtling, that two contractions is totally normal, safe, fine, to give the baby the time to maneuver their way out of it.
And give the mother some time to get up and move around so she doesn't need an episiotomy.
And the baby's not just this limp thing falling through. They've got tone. They've got...
Exactly.
You know, they move, they kick, they rotate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the opportunity to do that.
Exactly. And what was the abnormal heart rate card used against her meaning? Was that just the normal D cells, you stupid fuck? Because that's what happens to every baby.
The birth canal. Exactly.
Like, this happens to everybody in hospital. Oh, something bad's happening. It's like, it's just...
They did the same to me, even with Cody, because I didn't have continual fetal monitoring, obviously. And she's like, can I check the baby's heart rate? And I said, yes. And she did, and she said, oh, it's coming down. And I said, but is it coming back up? And then she was like, oh, yeah, it's coming back up. And I'm like, well, if I wasn't informed enough to ask you if it was coming back up, you would have played the whole your baby's heart rate is crashing.
Exactly.
Like, it's just...
Which, to any person who doesn't know enough, you say your baby heart rate, something's happening, you're thinking it's going to die.
You panic.
Get it out.
Yeah.
It's fucking bullshit. And they just use so many fear tactics on this poor girl. Mm. So they're basically, you see this woman manhandling this baby out and reefing it out. Does it go to the resuscitator because they're so worried about the heart rate and the shoulder dystocia? No, because they weren't ever fucking actually worried about it. It goes straight on the chest. No one's even looking at the kid because it's fucking fine. And the baby is fine. It's stunned because it's just been violently delivered.
Mm.
But, you know, as soon as I see it come out, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I just, that moment, I was like, oh my God, I could have 15 more fucking kids, even though I was traumatized watching it happen. But I was like, oh my God.
As soon as she moved, I was like, that's it. That's the end of your beautiful birth.
And then she hemorrhaged 2 hours later, which is funny that you've just reefed this poor baby out.
You just stressed her the fuck out.
God knows the Cinto and shit you gave her afterwards, which can cause a hemorrhage. Like, how was her placenta delivered? Like, what did they do there?
Yeah,
they reefed that fucking thing out. Like, not to mention the episiotomy. It could have been a trauma bleed. It might not have had anything to do with anything else. Like, I don't know. But I was like...
And the hospital room that she was in was massive. Like, it was a huge room.
Lights on.
Lights on. Really cold. Really sterile. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking whatever.
And
And then I went through the comments on her Instagram post saying, hey, guys, check out my birth video.
Mm.
And I was actually encouraged by how many were like, they shouldn't have moved you.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
I'm really sorry they got you off the ground. You're in such a good position. There was no need to put you on the bed, blah, 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 blah. So hopefully, not that you ever want a woman to feel shit about their birth, but I don't think it's good to continue living the lie. Like, I don't think it's good for her to continue thinking she had a really great birth experience, because although obviously it shits on the other ones she had, there were still things done to her that shouldn't have been done.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the thing with birth, and especially because she's newly, like, freshly postpartum.
Yeah, so she's still in cloud nine.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And, like, what she had to go through is epic. And if she can do that, dude, you can have your next kid at home.
Yeah, well, that's what I said.
Easy.
My sister and I were talking about it yesterday, and I said it'd be really interesting to see if she does have another kid.
Yeah.
Whether she's, like, fuck the hospital.
Evolves again. You know, because you see this, like, a C-section, C-section. A VBAC after two is awesome. Like, amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
And, like, yeah, the next one, dude, don't go have some warm, homely midwife. Like, because that just felt cold to me. The staff that came in, I felt like, do they even know her? The other people, they're the midwives, I'm assuming, or nurses.
But then, too, like, consider the, like, she even said in a lot of the videos or posts that they were giving her a really hard time about refusing the C-section. So they would have already had this. They would have had an opinion of her.
Yeah.
They would have been pissed off that she's risking, you know, their careers by choosing a vaginal birth after two C-sections. So they would have had this opinion of her anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Just, I felt that woman, I'm assuming she's an obstetrician. I wouldn't be surprised if she's a midwife. Like,
she must, surely after two C-sections, she would have had obstetric care.
I thought midwife was, you know, the obstetrician's probably floating around. Yeah, I just felt like, man, if you can get through that was fucking harder than the fucking kids I had at home.
Yeah,
like,
way
Jesus,
harder.
Dude, you way did harder. Really fucking well. Like, she should be so fucking proud of herself, man. But I hope she has another kid.
That was like, I got into a bit of a ragey, well, not ragey, I was very cool, calm and collected.
Mm-hmm.
But I got into a conversation with women on Facebook, which I don't normally do. Like, I normally just look at their comments and think, you fucking idiots, and scroll on. But
which everyone does to us anyways. We all do it.
Yeah, yeah. But I had to say something because I just felt so bad for this woman. Like, everyone was ragging on her for... So there's a woman, a doula in Australia called My Travelling Doula, and she free birthed her twins.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't clinically confirmed, but she was certain she was having twins. And she free birthed them at home at 34 weeks. Both twins did fantastic. Mm-hmm. One did need a little assistance after birth for 2 days for breathing, but then they went home. 34 weekers went home after 2 days.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so then one of the women that she supported was also pregnant with twins and just free birthed her twins.
Yeah.
And everything was perfect. Anyway, so the woman that she supported, who just had her twins, had them at, I'm just trying to find it,
mm-hmm.
had them at like, had them, doesn't say exactly when she had them actually, and it was after 2 cesareans.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah. Okay, so the babies were born at 41 and 5, mm-hmm. A little boy and a little girl.
Yeah.
And they shared it to social media. Of course, they're fucking proud. Mm-hmm. And it's an epic story. Like, why wouldn't you share it?
Yeah.
But then the comments, like, there's so many comments. I'm surprised and concerned that you as a doula and other medical professionals, doulas aren't medical professionals.
No, they're there for comfort measures. Yeah. They're not even there to tell you what to do ever.
They're just a birth support person.
Yeah.
You know, they're filling the gaps that our system can't provide.
Mm-hmm.
Allowed her to carry for so long. It is well documented in research that twin pregnancies at 38 weeks are similar to a singleton at 42 weeks, and the risk of stillbirth from that moment on increases significantly. How could she and others who are meant to be supporting her be so okay with putting her baby's lives at risk? So, of course, to that comment, I had to say, allowed her.
Yeah.
Like, she isn't a responsible and sovereign woman capable of making her own informed decisions about the health of her babies.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that language women are using? Women are using that language against women.
I know. And this is the thing with, like, everyone's for abortion rights and our choices at the beginning of pregnancy. But when it comes to the end of our pregnancies, it's like, get in line, listen to daddy, and don't go against us.
Other medical professionals allowed her to carry on for so long. What?
Imagine, yeah.
Then there was another comment. Here we go. Why does she feel the need to share this over social media? Why not?
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
She can do what she wants.
Yeah. If you don't like it, scroll on.
If it triggers you so bad.
Yeah. And then you put your babies at huge risk by having a home birth with twins. Now you seem to want attention surrounding it. Very concerning. Oh my God, this is one I raged at. Heaps of people were really supportive and it was really great. But then someone else in the comments wrote that it was putting too much stress on her body. Like, and I'm like, well,
you'd gone to labor probably.
The baby stayed in there for that long.
Yeah.
And they were born perfectly healthy and her body coped just fine. So how is it putting her body under too much stress?
It didn't.
And then someone said that this was a slap in the face to all the mothers that had preemie twins.
Are people retarded?
And had to spend time in NICU.
What is the correlation?
I'm like, how is...
So do you want me to have my baby at 20 weeks just to be like the rest of the... like, what?
Or not share my success story with the world because you had your twins preemie?
Exactly.
Like, it just blows me away.
Yeah.
And then there were... Oh, just... Jesus.
I suppose it's one of those things too. I think if you do put it on social media, especially like publicly, I think if you've got like a small, you know, little Instagram or something, different. But I think if you put it out publicly, it's for public consumption and people can, same with Temi Hambro, same with anyone.
Yeah, like 100%.
You can like commentate on it because it's there for us to, you know, that's what we do as humans is like, oh, what's this? Like,
yeah,
ask questions or critique and learn and, you know.
I commented like a big fucking comment and just ended it with, you don't know this woman, you don't know her journey, and to cast judgment based on your experiences is immature and arrogant. Here's to celebrating women feeling empowered to make decisions that best serve the health and safety of their family.
Yeah.
Regardless of how radical or extreme it may feel to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just wrote, you clearly aren't a twin parent, therefore you don't have the knowledge or experience to comment are either risks. And then a friend of mine who is a twin parent cut in and she was like, I'm a twin parent and I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Like,
so dumb.
But you have to be part of this special little twin group club to understand that I trust the woman.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
That's it.
I don't need to know anything else.
Yeah.
She made an informed choice to stay at home to birth her twins.
Exactly.
That's it. That's exactly. Where the fucking conversation ends.
And this is the thing. Women, like I had gotten to that argument with that dipstick about I stand with the woman. Like yeah. I don't care what you think or your shit. Like I don't care. And this is the thing. People would be like, yeah, but if you keep trusting women, they'll get out of control. No, because there's only a small amount of women that are like that. and I stand by all of them. But at the end of the day, if a woman is that intuitive and that like strong with what I want, like I don't, that's, it's her. Like it's not got nothing to do with me. Like no, I just stand by them.
And you don't need to know anything else about the situation.
No,
you don't
need
to know if they're mono die twins or die die twins, or you don't need to know any of that. I don't need to know anything.
If the mother wants to find out, she fucking will.
Exactly. If the mother is comfortable birthing at home,
exactly,
that's all I need to know.
And at the end of the day, when you're pregnant, you are with that baby, babies, whatever, the whole time. Every second you're awake, you're with those babies. You're thinking about it all the fucking time. You're thinking about things that could go wrong, maybe, that I would never think about. So how is me as a support person or a midwife or an obstetrician, when I just glance at your chart and go, have a little discussion here and here and here.
And put you in a little box with all the other twin mothers. That's it.
And then you somehow have more of an understanding of anything. Like, what are you talking about? You're just like, you're dedicating 5 minutes of your day thinking about me and my choices.
Yeah.
When that woman who's pregnant is living her whole day and night. And
comparing one pregnancy, twin or singleton, is completely irrelevant. But comparing any pregnancy to another pregnancy and one birth to another birth is fucking the stupidest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, it is.
Because they are nothing alike. Even you, like, your births are really similar, but there would have been different things that have happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. My three that were physiological were all very similar as well. But there were things that were different.
Yeah.
Even within the woman, the pregnancy and birth is different. So imagine what your births are completely different. Being twins is fucking irrelevant.
Yeah. You know, like, this is the evil bitch in me. It's like, yeah, probably if I'm in the right mood, right? If somebody wants to, like, you know how they can just critique and you're dangerous, there's research for this. Yeah. Wouldn't you love to fucking go to that bitch's page, scroll down, find her, she probably doesn't share, but her birth, and absolutely fucking decimate and fuck on all of her choices and say, that's wrong, dumb bitch, why'd you do that test? Oh, of course you're gonna end up with a C-section, dumbass. Like, imagine, she would crumble, but she's got the establishment and everything on her side, so, you know, she'd be well backed up.
So a few days after this happened, like a week later, I saw another twin free birth that went perfectly, and the pregnancy went to like 40 and 5 and everything was great. So then I'm thinking, so these women that have chosen, so that's three women now that have chosen an unassisted pregnancy and birth for twins that have been completely successful. One was slightly early, but her boys did fantastic considering their gestation.
Yeah.
And then the other two were normal dates.
Mm-hmm.
These three women all had beautiful births, beautiful pregnancies, and beautiful experiences with limited intervention, right?
Yeah.
So, but then these all these triggered women on this fucking on this post all had heavily medically intervened pregnancies, labors, births, big NICU stays, trauma, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So what's the difference here?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference here? You put your hands, you put your birth and pregnancy in the hand of the fucking medical establishment and you ended up with a high risk pregnancy, a high risk birth, trauma, NICU stays, all that other stuff. These women trusted themselves, took full responsibility for everything, and they had wonderful experiences.
Exactly.
So how the fuck can you sit there and say that they put their babies' lives at risk when they had better outcomes than you?
Yeah, exactly. And I also think it's like, these, when you let it happen physiologically, your body corrects and heals and does all types of fucking freaky and magical things, right? Our placentas, we don't even know how they properly work. Like, we don't know what type of like mystic shit is happening, because we I think we're females and we are like super powerful and magical in a lot of ways, right? Like, you go to hospital, say the 34-weeker, go to hospital with twins. What are they going to do? They're going to try and stop the labor, fuck around, do a bunch of, like, feeling around in your cervix. Or you'll break, you know, all types of fucking around.
Yeah.
Perhaps C-section, or perhaps bed rest in a disgusting hospital, perhaps antibiotics, all this shit. And then it's like, cords cut straight away, so there's no blood. Like, all types of weird shit, traumatic and, like, deliveries, like, through the vagina, which causes problems.
Yeah.
She stayed at home. The babies would have had probably full placenta load of blood go back into them.
Yeah.
You know,
and it wasn't, and they didn't struggle straight away.
Yeah.
It was hours later. It was 3 or 4 hours later.
And that's often the thing. Like, you see a lot of these home birth, even like singletons and stuff. If it's a bit earlier, the midwife will hang around, and it's a few hours later. Normally they're like, yeah, we'll take this one in for a bit of breathing. It's not like, get them fucking breathing now. Like, it's not this traumatic fucking thing when you transfer to the hospital and for some assistance.
Mum's enjoyed her beautiful golden hour. Yeah. She's showered. Mm-hmm. Bubs have received all that beautiful stem cells and oxygenated blood from their placenta.
Mm-hmm.
They're breastfeeding. And then mum decides, because mum isn't a fucking retard, mum can watch babies. Mum can tell whether one's struggling or not.
Yeah, exactly.
And she decides, she makes an informed choice to take them to the hospital.
Yeah.
And even the obstetrician said to her, I really think that their birth has left them in such good shape.
Yeah.
And she was just like, yeah, no fucking shit.
Like, and obviously.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, no, she didn't put her babies at risk. She made a really good fucking choice because she got a lot better outcome than most 34-weeker mums in the system would have had.
Yep. I think, like, your mind has so much to do with it. They were, before they got pregnant, were like, I'm free birthing, then they figure out they're twins. Or they're like, I'm home birthing, whatever. Yeah, making an alternative decision. Alternate.
Well, really, in Queensland, definitely, I know for sure that your options for your options for a twin birth in Queensland are hospital or free birth.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the hospital system, you got a real fucking rough ride ahead of you.
Yeah.
Because if one baby's poorly presenting, it's generally a C-section.
Mm.
I mean, you'd have to fight tooth and nail to get a vaginal birth. Like, everything would have to be perfect. They'd both have to be cephalic. They'd both have to be, you know, your measurements would always have to be perfect. No GD, no GTT.
Hey, hey! What are you doing? Use the tap up there, mate. Yeah. I feel like the mind plays so much of a role in labor, right? Just getting through contractions. And I think if you're a pregnant woman or just a woman pregnant with one baby, if you're a pregnant woman, whether it's singleton or twins, if your whole pregnancy, you're manifesting and thinking about what you want.
Yeah.
The power of the mind is so powerful. I don't know why people think it doesn't matter in labor. You're just a piece of flesh. And I think these women who had the three twin mums that you're talking about, they had such positive outcomes. Yes, I think 100% because of the physical environment and letting physiology do its thing. But then I think their minds the whole time have been primed for this. They've been manifesting this birth.
Mm.
Whereas another woman gets twins diagnosis and the whole time she's C-section,
just I'm fear, fuck, her I'm whole fuck, fucking
yeah,
pregnancy.
Like, oh my God, I just want them to be alive. That's my baseline. And that's what you get, you know, which is there's a lot of gray line. You ended up in hospital with River and you certainly weren't somebody thinking you're going to, you know, so it's obviously, but I think over the overwhelming majority, that's so helpful to have positive thoughts about your birth the entire pregnancy.
And if you're not engaging with the system the entire way through your pregnancy too, you're not getting that up, that 3 weekly or 4 weekly, and then at the end, every week, fucking dose of fear.
Exactly.
You
know? Definitely.
Oh, your baby's not growing enough, or they're too big, or oh, they're not head down, or oh, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. It's all little subtle insults every single time. Every all those little comments, all the bullshit.
Yeah. And that sinks in. That stays there. That's in your psyche there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the main reason I wanted to free birth. There's many reasons, but that was one of the main things with Chloe's. Like, because I stayed in the system for her pregnancy and free birthed her. I just remember being like, I don't want to have the pregnancy bullshit anymore. Yeah. Every single time I'd see them, it was some shit that was rooted in nothing and based on nothing and fear tactic or just a rude comment or just being a little bitch to me. Like, no, I don't want that when you're pregnant. Like,
I'm halfway through Rachel Reed's book that I'm reading. It's fucking fantastic.
Oh, sweet. Excellent.
Have you read it?
I've like read bits and pieces. I got it after I had Emily.
Yeah.
So I think I wasn't pregnancy, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's really good. Because I put off reading birth books now and pregnancy books because I've read so many and they kind of get a bit repetitive. But this one was recommended to me by a lot of people because it's a lot, like, she's very Rachel Reed obviously is, she's a midwife,
but she's also done a PhD,
and she did her PhD on inductions, and that was her first book, was inductions. So she's obviously very clinical in her approach, but then she's massively spiritual as well.
She's done a lot of work with Jane Hardwick Collins.
She references her a lot throughout the book. Yeah, it's really fantastic. I can never remember the exact title, but it's Rachel Reed, and it's got a red cover, Rites of Passage of Childbirth or something.
Yeah, what the fuck is that called?
Yeah.
I interviewed her on Mount Isa Birth Stories.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to go and because I thought I'd listen to them all.
Yeah, she was one of them. And
she's a Pommy lady, hey?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But she lives in Australia.
Yeah.
And
that's the other good thing. All the statistics that she references in the book are Australian.
Sweet. And she's worked at a uni for a long time as well. I think she's just taken a sabbatical or whatever off it. I don't know if she's quit. But I remember her being very clear about, like, when I was just talking, you know, when you start talking to somebody and they won't refer to cesarean as birth, like it was a surgical delivery, just very specific about language. And I was like, oh, you are a baddie. Like, this is baddie as in like a good baddie. Like, no bullshit, you know, just like, no, this is a surgical, what, you know, like I was just very impressed with it because it's very easy once you're a leader or looked at as a leader in the midwifery era,
to try and keep everyone
you try
happy.
And pander to everyone like, oh, cesarean section's the same as every other birth. It's all birth. Who cares? Like whitewash it all. Like our experiences don't matter and there's no differences.
Yeah.
So I was like, you are a fucking baller, man. Like,
yeah. Cause I listened to her and someone else on one of those, the Midwife's Cauldron podcast.
Yeah,
And that's where I was like, I really should read her book because she sounds really cool.
What the fuck is the name of it?
Yeah, it's really good. She takes you through, like, the first few chapters of the book takes you through...
Reclaiming childbirth as a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So she takes you through and she calls it her story instead of history.
Yeah, and
there's so many things about childbirth throughout the ages that I had no idea about.
Have you listened to the podcast... it's her story basically it's called.
No,
you need to listen to it.
I've listened to it twice.
Let me fucking find it. I am not lying when I tell you it was one of the most powerful lists. It's basically Jane Hardwick Collins wrote all this stuff down once, and there's a woman, you would know her too, you probably fucking even talked about it before, she basically read it out and she's got a beautiful voice and like there's music playing in the background and it is like so powerful, talking about how we used to be and how...
Yeah, I was a friend of mine who is newly pregnant now and is choosing a wild pregnancy and free birth for her first, fucking rock star.
Amazing.
Yeah, I recommended it to her because she's kind of come up against her mum and her mum's not really understanding of what, you know, the purpose, I guess, of a wild pregnancy and free birth and her mum's... obviously got some fear and so I was like, oh, it would be a really good book for a birth support person to read as well, because it really explains everything that you and I know, but we probably wouldn't be able to articulate in the way that someone with a PhD can.
It's Jane Hardwick Collins, Her Story, Woman Manifesto, and it's the Midwitch podcast, 14th of December 2019, and it's like the most beautiful passage of...
How long does it go for?
51 minutes.
Mistresses of the school, poets, philosophers, and scholars.
It's like the whole thing is like, you listen to it like dark room, candle on, just lay there and listen to it. It's like, oh, it's amazing. But it's all that her story stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It made you so emotional. Like, I would cry throughout it, and I don't fucking cry much. I normally angry cry if I cry.
I'm an angry rage cry.
Yeah, that's me too. But it was so beautiful. But then it also made you very angry for what's being done to women, especially when we have our babies. Like, it's, oh my God.
Mm.
Yes, it definitely
is. And it was interesting because Rachel Reid really highlights where the turning point for women was in birth. Like, birth belonged to women forever.
Yeah.
Until the fucking Catholic Church.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm, motherfucker.
What did everyone get vaccinated for?
I know.
You know, like, how... Oh, I just don't understand. I don't understand how people can be like, oh, 95% of the population are now vaccinated, but we must still wear masks.
Yeah.
So what the fuck did you get vaccinated for?
I know. But they...
So either the vaccine works and you don't need masks, or the vaccine doesn't work and not the masks work, but you got to wear a mask.
Mm.
Like, you can't have both.
It's so... Like, I don't even know where the logic is anymore.
There is no logic.
And I just don't understand. Like, look at the position we're in right now. Like, everyone is getting sick from basic viruses because it's well established.
Yeah, well, what's
avoiding each other, 1.5 meters, wearing a mask. All this shit has reduced our immune system to shit.
What was that article that came out the other day? It was even on mainstream media, and they were saying that all these pandemic babies are being born with no immune system. Mm. And I'm thinking, yeah, no fucking wonder.
Yeah.
Their mums would have been vaccinated, no doubt. Well, 95% of the mothers would have been vaccinated during the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. They would have been sanitizing their hands and wearing masks and avoiding everything, never leaving the house because they were so fucking terrified of getting COVID while they were pregnant.
Exactly.
Of course, these little babies have got nothing.
Yeah.
And then they would have come out into a completely sterile environment, and it would have just continued. The sanitizing, the masks, the not leaving the house, everything.
Yeah.
Of course, these kids have got no fucking immune system.
It's a fucking joke. It's really bad. And like, just all the shit, the pumping of the, what is it called? The hand sanitizer constantly. Yeah.
It's everywhere.
You've got so much good bacteria and bad bacteria on your hands, and when you use that shit, you're killing all the good shit, definitely, because the bad shit's normally a bit more hardcore.
It's like an antibiotic for your hand.
Constantly,
all the time. Like, I've seen people walk from shop to shop in a shopping center and do it at every shop.
Yeah, I know.
And it's then they wipe down their trolley and then, yeah. Oh my God.
Like, what the fuck? When you're born, the midwife breathing in the room, the hospital, people coming and going, that baby's immune system
the baby's is coming in
contact.
Yeah.
And it's got the safety of the mother and her breast and breastfeeding for the mother to create antibodies like that and then there was through even, the milk.
Like, how many photos did you see of mothers wearing masks? Mm-hmm. Like,
around their babies.
Yeah.
It's fucked. Oh, now my baby's in ICU for fucking rhinovirus.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Jesus, let's just keep doing the same thing. Let's all mask up again. Like, what the fuck? It hasn't worked. We've got record. It didn't work. And then there's shit like, oh, if we weren't vaccinating, there would have been all this extra death. But we already have extra death.
Well, no, not even. Look at the countries that have low vaccination rates.
Yeah.
They're not even on the fucking scale.
Yeah.
You know, the countries with the most vaccine, with the most COVID cases and deaths are the most vaccinated.
It's a joke. And even if it's not from, like, because there is excess mortality at the moment, like with the ABS data, like a 20% increase in fucking death, even if they're saying, like, well, it's maybe not vaccine related, it could be like everyone became alcoholics, everyone drug addicted, depression, mental illness, suicides, all this stuff increasing. Yeah, so that's the COVID response.
Yeah,
it never worked and it still increased death. So what are we fucking doing? Like, oh, let's mask up again, we're gonna lock down again, we're gonna stop kids going to school again.
Yeah. It didn't work the first time, but let's see if it works the second time.
There's like all article, like I was just reading one before, like you know, like how they do all this statistic stuff and it was like, you know, 70% of the people dying from COVID in Victoria are unvaccinated.
No, so it doesn't say unvaccinated because I've been reading them too. Oh, up to date.
Yes, yeah, so they don't have their fourth dose.
So they don't have their fourth booster. Yeah. That's what they're trying to say now. So 70% of the people in hospital now are over the age of 65 and they're not up to date.
Interesting.
And then when you read further, it says they haven't had their fourth booster.
So it's like, okay, so is the predictions right about they have much reduced immune systems because of the vaccines? And that's why they're fucking dying.
So where's all the actually unvaccinated? Yeah. Where's my dad? Where's your dad?
Yeah, I know.
Where are all those people over 65 and not vaccinated at all? Where are they?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not. And like they said,
so many, there's like 5% unvaxxed, I reckon, in Australia. So many of us would just not get tested for the fun of it. Mm. So it's even probably way more in our communities, like, is in
that are contracting it and not getting sick.
Yeah, and it's sort of never reported and or whatever. Like, it's just, and
then over the last two and a half years, we've had probably three decent colds go through our house.
Yeah,
one of them was probably COVID, but who the fuck knows?
I know. It's crazy. And the same Victorian data is saying, like, median age of death in these COVID deaths are, like, 85 years old.
Which is so far higher than the average life expectancy for Australia anyway.
And once again, like, why did you target the whole population? Target the oldies with the fucking random vaccine if you just want. Not everybody.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think because it's winter too, obviously, everyone's always sicker throughout winter.
Yeah.
And they're just milking it for whatever they can now.
And I feel like this is me just based on just being a human being. It's like, if it is a novel coronavirus, we haven't seen it in our population before, perhaps it is like, it'll hit us a few times for a couple of years straight. Like, you know, 2 years straight, maybe we'll get COVID three times a year.
But influencers do that.
Yeah. But then, like, you know, like, because I wouldn't necessarily get a cold every year. I don't even think I've had the flu. If I have, it's never been bad. Like,
the proper flu where you get the aches, the shakes, the fever, all that sort of stuff, I've only had twice in my life.
Yeah.
And once was when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then once when I was
a
real unhealthy 20-something year old. But a cold, I mean, they go through every now and then.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Will it hit us more frequently?
Yeah.
And then it'll just be like the cold once a year maybe.
Again, is that a virus going around?
Yeah.
Or is that everyone around us isolating, wearing masks, sanitizing, avoiding people?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, the trolleys wouldn't have the normal buildup of decent germs these days because they're fucking wiped down every time they're used.
Mm-hmm.
My gym equipment is wiped down in between every use.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fucking interesting, man. It was a really good article about so this is what's happened to children with the lockdowns and everything over the past 2 years.
Is this from Victoria?
This is the UK.
Oh, okay, cool. So I read one from Victoria the other day.
Which I'm really guessing, because Victoria was the harshest lockdowns, and so the UK did similar, but were they as crazy as us?
No, and it didn't last as long.
Mm.
Like, they sort of did it and then got over it pretty quickly, but like, my brother lives in the UK. My mum's currently in the UK. We've got heaps of family, obviously, still over there.
Yeah.
And they will all tell you that and they've all visited Australia a lot throughout, you know, over the years. Australia is a fucking massive nanny state.
Yeah.
In comparison to the UK, just in general. Yeah. You know, like, over there, there's no council checks for pools. There's no fence laws. There's no, you know, if you're riding your motorbike without a helmet, well, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You don't get pulled over and booked like you do in Australia.
Yeah.
All those sorts of things. So, they wouldn't have been as open to the lockdowns that Australia did. Whereas Australia is so used to being controlled.
Yeah.
That they just were like, whatever, we just got to do as we're told.
Yeah. It's crazy. So they, the rates, like the BMI, right? One of the rates of BMI increased roughly doubled in children. So with 6 to 11 year olds experiencing a rate change that was 2.5 times higher than the pre-pandemic rate, which is, of course, these are children stuck inside, not doing much. They don't eat. The kids eat all the time when they're bored. That's all the fucking children do.
The amount of times I say to my kids, are you hungry or are you bored?
I know. an almost 20 point drop in what is to be roughly equivalent to IQ achieved in just 2 years for children aged 3 months to 3 years. Children of this age learn things that they cannot learn later, such as early language recognition, aided by watching and interacting with people, showing them their full faces. Babies born during the pandemic have experienced delayed development, and may have fallen behind because of their mother's stress levels. Lockdowns, work, health worries are likely to be affecting newborns' development. An additional 60,000 secondary school children in England have tipped into clinical depression. Lockdowns have left toddlers unable to speak or play properly. And that's data from the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists. Assessments show that 1 in 5 children are not meeting standards by the age of 2.5, and the figures come amid warnings that referrals have doubled since the pandemic and therapists are unable to keep up. Dentists have warned that 20,000 children with rotten teeth missed out on agony-relieving pain operations as the number of extractions halved in the first year of the pandemic. Children's mental health services in England are overstretched to the point where young people are waiting up to 2 years for treatment. This is after a decade in which the government made the promise of mental illness.
It's always the kids that pay the price.
Yeah. And, like, how many houses in Australia have these tiny little 500 meter square blocks?
Yeah, I've got 5 fucking acres.
That's what I mean. I'm like, it's fucking wild. I can't imagine living in a city or some little tiny shit suburb.
And in the UK, they have gardens and they're like the size of a courtyard. You know, in Australia, for a townhouse, a courtyard, that's what most English homes have.
Yeah.
So, no, your kids aren't going to be going outside. They are going to be sitting inside eating and just watching screens all day.
And their vitamin D levels is just dropping by the second.
Yeah, and they're already shit anyway because there's no fucking sun over there.
Exactly. What a disaster. And children are hardly affected. And it's so crazy the amount of fucking normal people that are still convinced, like, oh my God, that little baby got COVID. Oh my God. And you're like, and like, that is the least of the population we should be worried about. Children are completely fine for the most part. Most of them are. There are some that are really, really unwell.
But there's ones that would be really, really unwell with the cold.
And get fucked over by the flu.
With RSV, with anything. Exactly.
It's just insane. Like, you're just like, wow, you have really been shielded from any type of fucking normal information. Like,
can you imagine? So, Revolt is a pandemic baby, technically.
Yeah.
I fell pregnant with her right at the start of the pandemic. she was born in the middle of it. So, can you imagine if she was one of these babies that was stuck in a house, parents working from home, can't go anywhere, doesn't go to the shops, doesn't go to playgroup, doesn't go to the playground, doesn't have 4 siblings and 4 kids down the road that she plays with.
Yeah.
The development, of course it's going to be...
Exactly.
Of course it's going to be stunted.
Yeah.
You know, just the amount of shit they learn going to the supermarket.
Yeah, exactly. And especially for parents whose children's socialization is daycare. Like, that's the only thing the kids do during the day. Like, because the parents are working or whatever.
Yeah.
Those kids aren't seeing anybody else. No. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So nuts.
And a lot of those kids would be only children.
Yeah.
So exactly. No, they're not playing with anyone else. They're just playing with mom and dad. Same. Day in, day out. Nothing. Yeah. They're not even going out in nature. You know, they couldn't even go out to the beach or to a playground or anything. They fucking close the playground.
Exactly. It's crazy. And that's this lady, there's this group called the Heart Group, and they basically a bunch of psychologists and basically all interested in children and how children have been affected by the pandemic response. Not by COVID, because children aren't affected by COVID.
Yeah, just overall,
statistically, they're fine. Then no one even dies statistically. It's like a 0 point whatever thing, and that's considered irrelevant in all of this little academic world.
They call it non-reportable data, don't they?
Yeah, it's like nearly nothing.
Yeah.
It's like in the US, so there's, you know, I think there's 20 million children, which I was like, that doesn't seem like much because there's 300 million people, but there's like 20 million kids or whatever. And they've obviously now approved 6 months old above to get vaccinated. And the rate of children dying over there in a year from COVID was like 200 and something kids. And then from that, they didn't actually...
So that's like 0.01%.
270 people a year die from lightning strikes over there.
Yeah.
And they were just
How many kids drown in America?
Yeah. Like, and they were just saying it's insane, but it's the fear campaign, media-driven shit. They're using kids for...
Did you see Elmo got vaccinated? Like...
What the fuck are you doing?
No stopping them.
ACIP. So they've approved like it for children, and there's an ACIP meeting and there's another one.
Is it approved in Australia for six months?
Not yet, but in a couple of weeks. Yeah, because like, we just follow whatever the FDA and whatever they do over there. We just accept their shit. But so over there they'll have like, so when the FDA, whoever wants to approve a product, they have like, not a round table thing, but they have a big committee come together. Everyone comes in. Everyone who's voting, like all the clinicians that are voting on whether to approve it or not, sit in the middle. And then people are in it. The public can come as well. Like not everyone can talk, but you can basically disagree. And so they had people talking at this thing saying like, hey, my 17-year-old son got myocarditis and can never fucking play football again. And like, so there's people, you know, saying stuff. And then all the clinicians kind of say stuff. A lot of doctors ask questions as well. So that goes on for like 2-3 days and then they all vote. And so they basically unanimously all voted for, yes, let's approve it. But like, so Jeffrey Jackson, you know, that really mad dog, like researcher, journalist guy, he reports with the High Wire a lot. He watched the whole thing. And a lot of these doctors who were voting and voted in favor of doing it had a lot of concerns. But the media doesn't show this. Like there was a doctor talking all these excellent points about the myocarditis risk in children, how he brought up the lightning thing, like children are not going to die from this disease unless they're really, really unwell. And that basically is what got it over the line in this committee. They basically said they don't want to not have this available for parents of really, really sick children. So let's vaccinate every fucking body. Like, it was so ridiculous. And that's what they said. Like it's not like the court of law. This doesn't work with like really needling the problem down to being like, okay, we've identified a group of people, we're going to recommend it for vulnerable children. Why don't you do that?
Yeah, why don't you just say...
They're all in cahoots.
Yeah, it's approved for 6 months to 5-year-olds if you have this, or this condition.
Exactly.
Like, that's not hard.
This is just an excerpt of one of the questions being asked. It goes for about 2 minutes.
And some pretty shocking answers, but you know, when it came down to put the money where your mouth is, that's what happened. So
yeah,
you know, let's move on. So now they started talking about injuries, especially myocarditis. This is obviously a big issue for these kids, children, adolescents, teenagers. The heart inflammation, we've covered this way above background in all of these studies.
Yep.
And so we have Dr. Henry Bernstein. He's a New York pediatrician, and he had some really great questions to ask. Listen to this.
My question relates to, and this may be a better question for the sponsor, but with concern to myocarditis, particularly in the males after dose number 2, are data available or being collected using a lengthened interval between doses 1 and 2 in the primary series for those males 12 to 17 and those 18 to 25 young adults?
Sure. Thank you for the question, Dr. Bernstein. We in our studies, our study populations were incredibly compliant. So we don't have any clinical data more than a 4 weeks duration. But we are looking at kind of observational studies to help inform that.
So you're looking at a longer interval between the primary series, the 2 doses of primary series, and older teenagers and young adults?
So we are actually not looking at it. I mean, I know there are other studies, other observational studies, such as those in Canada, that have explored the longer interval. We are clinically not exploring the longer interval for adolescents. We are looking at infants and whether a longer interval would be beneficial there.
billions of dollars being spent by Joe Biden to track down people that don't trust these vaccines, to censor anybody that talks about the lack of science around it. But no, we're not doing any studies on timing and whether or not timing could maybe limit the swelling of our innocent children's hearts and putting them in hospitals and killing them, because simply, I hope they never say we don't have funding for that, as Biden's been sitting there just doling out ridiculous amounts of money to stop freedom of speech.
All right, and that's Moderna's vice president of clinical vaccine development. So that the one issue their vaccine has, the biggest issue, is myocarditis. This guy's asking, you know, yeah, you're going to accordion this out, look for it a little longer time frame than just this short time frame. How about the kids? No, we're not going to touch it. We'll leave that to real world data. Maybe fly your butt up to Canada, see if you can find some studies up there.
So we'll leave it to real world data. So basically that means your kids are the test subject.
Your kids, honey.
Yeah.
Fuck that. For a disease that
they have no risk of dying from.
It's not going to do shit.
But they don't even have risk of becoming severely ill from.
And it doesn't prevent transmission. So vaccinating your children isn't stopping grandma from getting it. Your children, I hope, means more to you than your grandmother's health.
Should never be a shield for an adult, ever.
Insanity, man. But just like, that's fine. And so there was all of this being discussed for days on end, like people coming up with the concerns and all of this shit. And they're like, oh, yeah.
And then you shared something really interesting yesterday that I hadn't considered, and I'm sure a lot of people haven't either, is how does a nonverbal child explain to you that their chest hurts or that their heart is on fire or that they're having trouble breathing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, their symptoms are going to be... They're going to have to stop breathing for you to know.
Yeah.
And by then, the damage is done.
Yep.
You know?
Or like, it'll just be Panadol. Baby gets okay, but you don't know it's heart shit.
Yeah,
and then it has a heart attack when it's 15 and it's drinking for the first time or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or it, you know, starts a sport and it kills over.
Yeah. Crazy.
Because all the stories on, you know, Jab Injuries Australia and stuff of the teenagers, it's all... you know, my son had really bad heart pains and or chest pains, and you know, he didn't tell me for a week, but now he told me. Imagine your baby having chest pains. Like, can you just? I just can't even imagine.
That's not gonna fucking kill it.
I just can't even imagine what people are thinking.
It's just like lunacy.
It is,
but it's like these people have a brain virus because all they do is watch the news. And these types of people will tell you, oh, I don't watch any news. I'm like, where the fuck are you getting the information from? Yeah. Fuck, where? Like, are you looking at journals, medical journals?
If you're not
are you
watching listening the news,
for the latest, like, what's coming out from all these researchers?
If you weren't watching the news, COVID wouldn't exist. Because in our real life right now, does COVID exist for you, to you? Can you see it around you?
No.
Other than the odd cuck down at Woolies still wearing a fucking mask?
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't exist anymore. Exactly. So what the fuck are we vaccinating babies for?
It's insanity. But what a fucking moneymaker. Like, it's a moneymaker.
Huge.
Just in, and like, what, like, pharmaceutical
and imagine,
companies.
Imagine when it actually gets approved and it becomes part of the childhood schedule.
Yeah. And that's what it'll be like, oh, your kid has to be vaccinated to come to school. Or, Or it'll be like, oh, we'll put it on the schedule for free for you.
Yeah.
It's not free. The government's paying those pharmaceutical
companies.
That's
our fucking tax money.
Do you not think? Yeah. Like, you know, people that think companies are corrupt as fuck. Everyone knows it. But when it comes to, like, do they not think that there are lobbyists?
But they think that the corruption stops at some point and then they somehow start caring for you. You know?
Like, it's like, it's non-profit when it comes to vaccines.
Yeah.
Like, are you so fucking
stupid? Do you really
stupid?
Think pharmaceutical companies that charge thousands of dollars for life-saving diabetic medication give a fuck about you?
Yeah.
No, they don't give a fuck.
They care about their bottom line. And do you not think they've hired the best lawyers, the best spin doctors, the best people convince the media and everybody?
But the Congress in America changed the fucking law to suit them.
Yeah.
You know, they're not liable.
Yeah.
There's no liability.
Do you know the payout figure? Because they don't obviously pay out for injuries.
No.
But, and I didn't get to look this up, but I seen people talking and they said the UK have capped it at 120 grand for an injury. That's it. So I was like, well, surely it's going to be more for a death.
Is this specifically for COVID or just in
COVID
general?
COVID vax.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and ours is capped at like 20 grand.
Yeah, that's what they said. Australia's 20 grand.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool. So my heart doesn't work good for the rest of my life. 20,000. Thanks.
That's all it's worth.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But and the way they get around that is I remember reading them saying that it was everyone's responsibility to weigh the risks versus benefit for themselves. themselves, and it was their responsibility whether they wanted to get vaccinated or not. Like, you cunts didn't hold people's jobs and livelihoods over their heads.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what drives me insane is that woman, Abby Chatfield. She...
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how triggered I get from her, but... she was talking about, like, she's still banging on about, like, everyone has a fucking choice. You had a choice. And she'll literally say, like, we didn't force you. You just had a choice whether to choose your job. Or, like, I'm like, can you not hear yourself? Where the fuck did you go to school, you retard? Like,
so you had a choice whether to keep feeding your children and keep a roof over their head or get vaccinated.
And, like, these people. What a choice. I know, right? And, she's the same fucking ilk of people who are like, can't comprehend the similarities between my body, my choice when it comes to abortion and vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Did you see Canada have a rally for My Body, My Choice, RE, the abortions in America, and then, but you had to be vaccinated to attend? Like, they even advertised it.
I can't, you know what I was thinking? Like, the hatred people have towards unvaxxed. I'm sure, like, you know, they just... Obviously,
yeah,
rightfully so, really care for women who need an abortion.
Yeah.
I bet if a woman was like, oh, fuck the vaccine, though, they'd be like, well, fuck you, keep that kid, live in poverty, yes. You're not getting a fucking abortion. Like, they're this power-tripping people, man.
Yeah.
But Abby Chatfield was like, you know, so my thing was, I bet, like, because she obviously doesn't understand the concept of coercion from, like, your job loss to all of this stuff. That's why a lot of people got this vaccine. But I bet she completely understands it when it comes to, like, sex. And women being coerced into sex that they don't want. And
or
then,
coerced into keeping a pregnancy that they don't want. Or...
It's like, so that's valid.
Yeah.
But not, and so then I'm like, they don't obviously understand that it is almost worse because you can fucking die from this vaccine or have a life-changing injury from it when you didn't want it.
Mm.
A baby can kill you, not often.
Yeah.
An abortion can kill you as well. Like, you know, all of this shit. But I'm like, how is it? If it's my child that's been vaccine injured, yes, I do fucking care. Like, do not coerce me. It is the same thing, almost worse than your rights being taken away for abortion, is that you forced my child to get this pharmaceutical that's now injured it or killed it.
It's just that cognitive dissonance, you know, like their brain just cannot see and they cling so tightly to the... They cannot get past the fact that if you aren't vaccinated, you're a threat to society.
Yeah.
They don't care that even now, all the governing bodies and mainstream media are coming out and going, oh, you know what, actually it doesn't, herd immunity is not possible through this vaccine program.
Yeah.
They don't care. They're still clinging onto the fact, the thought and the perception that you're a fucking asshole for putting everyone else at risk.
And it comes back to...
And that's their whole argument.
Yeah. And it comes back to me.
Mm.
Don't hurt me. I'm a victim of you. Me. Yeah. I have no responsibility. Yes. I have no sway over my life.
Yes.
I can't
keep myself healthy if you're not keeping yourself healthy.
There was this lad that was saying, like, there's a lot more you can do, because people were screaming about masking up again.
Mm.
And the sky's like, there's so much more you can do as well to prevent.
You've had 2.5 years now. If you're still obese.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? If you're actually concerned.
If you're actually scared. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're actually concerned for your health and think COVID is a genuine risk to your body,
yeah,
then you've had 2.5 years to lose some fucking weight.
Yeah, it might be hard though, because they've all had the jab and they've all been injured and they call it long COVID. Mm. So now they're all on their couches eating M&Ms all day and I can't lose weight because I've got a disability called long COVID. But yeah, it's just like victim mindset once again. If I get sick, it's your fault. Mm. You should do it. It's like 95% of yous are vaccinated. And I'm sorry, you're on your fucking own, mate.
And how many times do you see, I'm so glad I had my third or fourth shot. I'm so glad I'm wearing masks. I'm so glad I've been socially isolating. My COVID experience would have been so much worse. And you think, how can you actually not see that all those measures did fucking nothing?
Yeah. And also, that's like a complete political slogan. Like, that's not even rooted in science.
No.
Rooted, whatever. You know, like, so, you know, the BMJ, like, people that don't know, like, medical journals, right, are subscribed to by doctors. They're used at uni. They're referenced all the time. Like, it's not, a medical journal isn't just, like, the newspaper, like, an editorial by some fuckwit.
No, so to even be a journal, don't they have to be, like, they have to... match all this criteria, and then once they're a journal, then that's when people do peer reviews.
Yeah, like you submit stuff, then people feedback. Yeah. It's just this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
So the BMJ is a major journal.
Yeah.
And the editors have written an article, they've done a little study thing, right? And so it isn't up for peer review. It's going to be published soon. They've done like a provisional thing. They've put it online and it's like exploding in areas that aren't mainstream news. Like, people are very interested in it because this is a BMJ editors.
The vaccinated are
COVID vaccines more likely to put you in hospital than keep you out, BMJ editor's analysis of Pfizer and Moderna trial finds. And then it's like, a new paper by the BMJ editor, Dr. Peter Doshi and colleagues have analyzed data from Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccine trials and found that the vaccines are more likely to put you in hospital with a serious adverse event than keep you out by protecting you from COVID. The preprint, not yet peer-reviewed, focuses on serious adverse events highlighted in the WHO-endorsed priority list of potential adverse events relevant to COVID-19 vaccines. And the serious events are considered death, life-threatening at the time of the event, inpatient hospitalization or prolongation of existing hospitalization, persistent or significant disability or incapacity, a congenital anomaly birth defect, medically important event based on medical judgment.
And this is only based off the ones that make it to an adverse reporting system.
Yes.
Can you imagine how many people are going into a hospital right now, today, at this very moment, with an adverse event and they're being fobbed off and sent home?
Nothing. Like, don't worry about it.
So can you imagine what the statistics would be if everything was actually taken seriously and everything was reported as an adverse event?
Like, we don't have a VAERS system here, basically. Like, we've got some weird thing here, but VAERS, Harvard did a study and they assumed, like, they kind of predicted it was only 1%. So it's like,
and that's in normal times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So imagine what it would be now with everyone being like, you know, doctors being shunned and especially in Australia, you know.
Oh, I think back to that fucking midwife who was saying there's nothing wrong with a miscarriage. Everyone miscarries. You were that fucking biased on social media and doubling down on the position.
Imagine when a woman actually presents. Yeah,
when a woman comes to a fucking cunt like her and says, hey, I've just lost my baby.
Yeah, it's like, because of the vaccine.
And I was vaccinated 2 weeks before. Are we going to report this?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then not to mention APRA and how they treat, like, it's like, holy fuck. So if you want to look at this article, just type in serious adverse events of special interest following mRNA vaccination in randomized trials. And that's the BMJ. So it's interesting. I get excited because I'm like, well, this is the editors of this journal. A lot of people, you know, like, what are they going to do?
They can't hide it forever.
Yeah. Like, these journal people have been known to not be submitting. Like, there's, you know, like Jessica Rose and Stephanie Sands for trying to submit their articles to these journals and they've been like shunned.
Yeah.
So this, I'm like, oh, well, that's good. Maybe there is a little bit of dissent in there where they're going to be like, no, actually.
Yeah. Well, so what was it I sent you today? Someone has gone through like a Queensland... someone who loves Queensland has gone through and checked the ABS for
Australian Bureau of Statistics.
I sent it to you on Instagram. Yeah. For the increase in heart attacks throughout the past year. So she said, I did a little research on the ABS, Australian Bureau of Statistics, and found it averaged at 20,000 per 6 month period pre-COVID. And 80,000 per 6 month period once vaccinations were introduced. I'm no medical expert, just sharing what I found out. Like, how we, of course, don't get me wrong. And like you said before, a lot of those are probably because of the
response.
You know, locking people in their homes, losing their jobs. Stress is obviously terrible for the heart.
Yeah.
A lot of that, but again, that was still, that's still the government's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
They still put a mandate and all these measures on people.
And you can't blame the unvaccinated for taking up all of that because there's only 5% of us, sweetheart, who are unvaccinated. So how the fuck is 5% going to increase by 40,000?
And that's not an ignorable amount.
No. You know,
say it was like 20,000 and then it went up to 25,000 or even 30,000. You'd be like, oh, yeah, that's just the pandemic response.
Mm.
80,000 now. That's 60,000 more heart attacks in a 6 month period. You can't, how is that being ignored?
And not to mention, like, fucking Pfizer's data they tried to not release for 75 years has revealed they knew at the time that the fucking spike protein was not staying in the deltoid. It was gathering in places like the heart,
the ovaries, and the
fucking ovaries.
Yeah.
And then and then have you also been seeing this like reduction in the birth rate in like Germany?
Germany was huge.
Did you draw that? Okay. What were you fucking saying?
Oh, we're just raging about heart attacks increases in the Pfizer data and
The reduction in birth rate stuff.
Oh, Germany's is just crashed.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then like all the fucking normal players are like, yeah, but the COVID response, like, you know, not the COVID response, sorry, like COVID itself, people were like isolating. I'm like, yeah, but isn't that when everyone bangs and has kids?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't it increase? But it's like, that would be, you know, all those reasons for why the birth rates drop, like people have lost jobs, like not the smartest time, people are scared about the future, why would you want to bring a child into it? That's all fair enough. But the fact that women's menstruation...
It still wouldn't be so dramatic.
Exactly. But then, like, there's fucking... We know that the spike protein is filling up our ovaries. Mm. We know women's cycles, which is how you have a kid, has been greatly affected.
Yeah.
You know, people were saying they were going back to normal cycles, but still, that's got to make a dent.
Mm.
If, like, most of the women getting vaccinated, 95% of the population are having interrupted cycles for 6 months, it's, of course, going to impact the fucking birth rate, because women, when they want to get pregnant, aren't getting pregnant. And then
just because your cycle's back to normal doesn't mean you're super fertile either. Like, I know plenty of women who have had regular cycles their entire lives and have still resorted to IVF to conceive a child.
Yeah.
So, you know, your cycle returning to normal isn't a
positive thing.
It is a positive thing, of course, but that doesn't mean that you're able to conceive a child.
And the sperm stuff that came out that said sperm motility decreased, but they said, oh, it returned after, what was it, a month or two months?
Yeah.
But then that was the median.
Median, yes.
There's some people whose sperm motility never came back.
And that's what they were saying. They said that they really...
Yes, I'm like, well, hello. Why would we not expect to see some weirdness in the birth
rate? It's interesting that you brought up the median, actually, because that... So a lot of them, like you said, a lot of them, their sperm never recovered. Mm. So while you're getting the average coming back to normal motility, you're still losing a lot of fucking players there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wild times.
Yeah. Catch you, cunts.